Please turn to John chapter 21. Chapter 21. Again. And if you'd like to stand, go ahead and stand. This is the Word of God. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter and them. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, do you have any fish? They answered him, No. He said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple, whom Jesus loved, therefore said to Peter, It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came into the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, Who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to them, Tend my sheep. He said to them a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, Follow me. Peter turned and saw the disciples whom Jesus loved, following them. The one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. So the saying spread abroad among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but if it was my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things, and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that it would itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I pray for a recollection of what you have shown me, that I can communicate to the hearts here through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a lot of information here. I don't know if you did my homework from last time, that you read the whole book of John. But if you did, what is the book of John about? Jesus. Well, the answer's in the last verses of chapter 20. It says, now this did many other things for the disciples, but John written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So the question I can give you is, do you believe? Okay. And if you believe, now we have this epilogue. We know that Jesus rose. We know the testimony of Jesus. All the signs that he gave, he proved who he was. And the last thing is that he rose from the dead. And he proved that he was the Son of God. And by believing, you would have eternal life. So now we have this epilogue of Jesus coming to the disciples again. If you like to take notes or like to underline things, the things that we're going to talk about is in verse 12, come and have breakfast. And verse 15, do you love me more than these? Then feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Verse 17, are you grieved? Verse 19, follow me. Verse 20, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And then verse 22, what is that to you? Okay. I don't know if I'll get through them all today, but I'll start. First of all, this 3 years prior to this, in Matthew, Jesus asked these disciples, or they weren't his disciples, they were just men at the time, fishermen. He says, drop everything, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And immediately they dropped everything, and they followed Jesus. So you have this whole time of these disciples following Jesus, witnessing who Jesus was. Jesus, this is the third time that Jesus revealed himself to these disciples. They were fishing all night, which was kind of a breaking the command of Jesus, because Jesus told them to wait on the hill. And yet Peter's like, I'm done waiting. I'm going to go fishing. Do what I know what's best. So they went fishing. All the disciples followed Peter. Peter being the natural leader. Peter who Jesus chose. So with that in mind, we have all night of them fishing and catching nothing. And when they get to there and they realize that it's Jesus, Peter jumps off and they run to the Lord. They know it's the Lord, but there's nothing said. They're quiet. Sort of the term breakfast. They're fasting all night. They haven't eaten all day. So that word breakfast is breaking that fast. That fast. So the thought is that, do you spend time with Jesus? Do you break your fast? Do you break what you're doing to spend time with the Lord? And here it was early in the morning, right? The food was prepared. It's like that heavenly manna. Okay, this is the physical food that he was on. But you get that spiritual nourishment by being with the presence of the Lord. Okay? How much time do you spend with the Lord? Okay? After the disciples are fed and nourished, it's like if you were to spend time with the Lord, spend time with his word, and bask in his presence, you can handle these questions. Okay? If you don't spend time with them, and Jesus comes up to you and asks you, do you love me? I don't know. You know, but Peter gets that question. He gets that question three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? I can ask you that question. Do you love me? You can give me a rote answer. Yes, I love Jesus. But this is a question that you have to ask yourself.
Do I love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? To the point where you're grieved. Okay. Is it a perfect love? No. We know Peter's history. It's not perfect. But he still asked, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And then, of course, if that is the question, do you love me more than these? Do you love Jesus more than anything? Honestly. I look at Peter in the sense of where, I don't know what they were thinking, but they've already seen him twice before. They know he rose to death. They live with him for 3 years. Peter was doing whatever he said at first, and then he would renege, and then, you know, so he was just back and forth. And when you think of Peter, it kind of gets a bad rap, because when you do think of Peter, you think of he denied Jesus 3 times. And I think about Peter, too, sometimes. I'm like, you know, Jesus chose him to be the leader of the disciples, to be a pastor of his church. Okay. I was wondering if I did an application to a seminary and my resume was, I denied Jesus, I was in league with Satan, you know, I ran away, I didn't do what he said to do, you know, so those are the things that Jesus saw of the quality and looked past those things and knew who Peter was. And Peter says that, you know me. You know me. And I'm sure that all the disciples were probably grieved, knowing that they all ran away. When Jesus was arrested, they all took off. Even John. They all took off. It was John and Peter that went to the priest and saw the trial, and then John was at the cross and stuff. I'll talk to him a little bit more about him better more later, but you know, in their hearts, they were just kind of like, oh my gosh. What Jesus said is true, and they got to be processing this whole thing of everything that they've seen, witnessed, and yet, what do I do? What do I do? Here the Lord is. And the Lord doesn't give them therapy. He doesn't tell Peter to repent. He doesn't reprimand him and say, like, what have you done? You left me. You denied me. Right there. He just asked the question 3 times, and he wants an honest answer. And Peter's like, you know I love you. You know I love you. What is the object of your love? You know, if you spend time with people, you can probably tell what people love. I'm going to list some things. Maybe it'll strike a nerve, but do you love yourself? Pets? Alcohol? Pleasure? TV? Movies? Books? Food? Knowledge? Work? How about your rights? How about political issues? Vanity? Entertainment? Video games? Sports? Fitness? Health? Music? The list goes on. What is it that you place before Christ that you love more than Him? Are you willing to give it up? It's funny, 3 years ago, that was their life. And they gave it all up. Poof, gone. And yet Jesus is asking them again, do you love me? Are you offended by that question? I mean, look at Peter. He walked on water. He preached the gospel. He fought for Jesus. And yet Jesus still asked him, do you love me? Of all the good things you do for the Lord, but do you love him? Because there was a disciple who loved silver more than Jesus. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, all of us possess knowledge, and this knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Without loving Jesus, the Bible's empty. The gospel has no good news. If you come to church without loving Jesus, it's in vain. If you sing a song to Jesus and you don't love Jesus, it's in vain. Here. Loving Jesus is what makes us like Him. Do you just know about Him, or do you really love Him? How often do you hear that question, but to the point to where you grieve? Do I love Jesus in all that you do? And that's not a perfect love. Thank God. That Christ is gracious. He picks us out of our imperfections and yet still calls us to serve Him. But if your answer is yes, what then? Where there is love, there is a desire for activity. If you love something, you want to do something, right? If you love a concert, you're going to go to the concert. If you love Jesus, you want to do something for Jesus. If you love Jesus, don't be idle. What are you doing? Are you just coming to church to be fed? It's kind of selfish. Love grows by active exercise. Jesus loved so much, He became the food and drink to do the will of His Heavenly Father. Jesus knew Peter loved Him, so He gave him something to do. Verse 15 and 16 says, "Feed my sheep, tend my lambs," or "feed my lambs, tend my sheep." The question is, or at least in my thought, was this just directed at Peter? Have you ever been in a business meeting and you have a lot of people around and the boss picks somebody out of the crowd? Did you do this? Did you do this? But your ears are there and you hear it. Or if somebody gets reprimanded for doing something that you've done before, you hear it. So is this directed just at Peter? It is in the context here, but I think it was for the other disciples as well. Because John did it. I mean, he wrote the epistles, he wrote Revelation, he wrote John. He's feeding the sheep. You know, Peter did, Paul did. But even, you know, the other disciples had, I mean, they were just there to preach the gospel. We're called to preach the gospel. If you have the love of Christ, you have the gospel. It's our duty to tend and feed the sheep. And I think about a campfire. How when you're at a campfire, you're camping, doesn't everybody like to gather around the fire? Children like to gather around the fire. It just is there's a warmth, there's a light. You know, the dark is behind you, light's in front. We're gathered. We're that light. People like that light. Unless you love sin rather than light. I mean, there are those that love darkness rather than light. So there are things, it's going to divide on there. But we're to be that light. How did Peter feed the sheep? Well, he was first fed. He was fed bread and fish. Okay? He was fed by the whole testimony of Christ's life. There. If you are afraid to share the gospel, try spending an hour with Jesus. I think about Moses and how he just got a glimpse at the hindsight of God and yet he glowed His glory. When you spend time with the Lord, you spend time with Jesus, it's going to show. I don't know how many times I've read Scripture and that day I've used it or talked about it to somebody. And it just... You don't have to prepare. You prepare by spending time with the Lord, and He's going to use you. There. You need to love Jesus before you can love others. Teaching sheep without Jesus is not a shepherd. If you don't love Jesus and you're tending sheep, you're a hireling. And if you go back to chapter 10, when Jesus, He's the great shepherd, He talks about those that steal and cheat and stuff. But a hireling is somebody who, if you hire, but they don't care for the sheep. And as soon as danger comes or anything like that, they flee. It says, they're not my sheep. And that's the other point. It's not our sheep. It's the Lord's sheep. If anything should motivate you, is that these are the Lord's. You are the Lord's. There's a connection. There's a it's like when somebody knows the Lord, even when you travel and you meet somebody who knows the Lord, there's this fellowship of like, wow. There. And you feed them for Jesus, because it's not about you, not about us. There. And you feed them for Jesus, and it's willingly. It's not out of duty or grudge, but because you love Jesus. And it's a season for all times. If you had a flock and you didn't feed them, what happens? They die. You're to be in season, out of season. When it rains, when it's whatever, you're always to be prepared. The only way you're going to be prepared is if you spend time, if you have breakfast with Jesus. Okay. Jesus said in effect to Peter, I love you, and now I trust you with those whom I have purchased with my heart's blood. Peter, I have such confidence in your love for me that I'm making you a shepherd of my sheep. I gave everything for them, and now I want you to take care of them. Can you hear that? Are your ears there too? Take care of the sheep in love. Prove you love him by keeping his commandments. If you love him, feed his sheep. If you love Jesus, show it by doing good to others, so that Jesus may have joy in them. Just a side note here, that if you go on to the scripture, there's a phrase in there, because when you read the Gospel of John, John calls himself the one Jesus whom Jesus loved. And when you first read that, you're like, okay, Jesus loved him. It's a humble way. Wouldn't you want to be someone who's Jesus, whom Jesus loved? And that's a friendship love. It's like Jonathan and David all over again. And there was a special thing. I don't know if you've ever taught before, but when you have a class full of children, don't you have a special affection for those that want to learn? Those that want to be taught. I mean, you love all the kids, but there's that affection that's just like, wow. You know, there's just that one special one. And then within the disciples there, there was one. And you know, Peter gets a bad rap because you think of Peter, oh yeah, he denied Jesus. When you think of John, you think of John. John is the one that Jesus loved. He's love. If you read his epistles, it's about love. But he's also a son of thunder. Think of a cloud building up energy, and it's just building up, and all of a sudden, zap! The son of thunder. It's like John's this quiet guy. In all the verses that you read in the Bible, he's only said, I think, that I can think of two things. One is right here in this chapter, he says, it's the Lord, he says to Peter. The other thing he said is like when he's at the table, he says, who's going to die? But those weren't his words, because Peter asked him to say it. The other time is that he goes, it was when these people were casting out demons and he rebuked them because they weren't part of his crowd. So he has this desire for truth. And when he speaks, it's kind of black and white. You either love God or you don't. Thank God for Paul. Paul is the one that sits there and he goes, well, yeah, you love God, but it's okay. You know, his grace will cover that. You know, but John, if you read him, he's just straight to the point. Okay, but this book here, this gospel, probably wasn't written anywhere from 70 A.D. to 90 A.D. is what they're thinking. So you see, he had a lot of time to think before he was this gracious pen that penned this through the Holy Spirit on there. But the point is that there was still a transforming of Christ's grace and his love that he saw in John to call him the one that Jesus loved. Do you want to be the one that Jesus loved? compassion. And you think about John and his compassion throughout. He was the one at the foot of the cross. He's the one that Jesus said, take care of my mom. And he did. Peter would have done it too. I'm sure the other disciples would have too. But there was something about John that Jesus said, take care of my mom. He had compassion. He was love. If you read his letters, you can see how much love he has. But he's very black and white. Right? Very quiet, but when he spoke, bam. Peter is good, but tough. Thomas is kind, but cold. John is tender and affectionate. He's a seeker of truth. There. And the next phrase is that following Christ. Follow me. And when Peter is asked that question, and Jesus says, well, I can just picture Jesus saying to Peter, follow me, and he turns and he runs away. And Peter's following him for a second. And then he goes, what about this man here, John? What about this man? And Jesus says, what is it to you? That's a phrase. You know, it's like, if you can think of anything, just think of breakfast with the Lord. Do I love Jesus? Am I grieved to the point that I love him, be obedient to him? Am I a person that Jesus would say, one who I'm loved? And then what is it to you? I don't know how many times things cloud your... I mean, if you think about, well, let's say, if you think about a rich person, and you're like, wow, if I had that person's money, I can do this to the poor. Well, what is that to you? That person has money, you don't. Follow Jesus. Okay? There's a fine line between that discernment, because you don't want to not care about somebody, but you want to not worry about what the Lord's doing in their life. That's between him and the Lord. Right? What is it to you? If I want John to live until I come back again, then that's my prerogative. That's Jesus's. He can do it. I think of Job. You know, where were you when I put the stars in the heavens? You know, who were you to ask me these questions? There. And then I also think about Lot's wife. Look back. Devastating. Right? We tend to look back. We tend to hang on to the past. Follow Jesus. It's not saying that don't learn from your past. Don't be remorseful for the sins you've made. But move forward. I mean, this is like a therapy class for somebody who just repented, or not even repented, but was grieved because he denied Jesus three times. And there was no long history of sessions of, oh, let's look at your past. What are your parents like? No. The question was, is do you love me? Isn't that... I mean, if you look at your own life, you look at the sin in your life, whether it's repetitive or past, every time you've sinned is because you didn't love Jesus in that moment. Do you love Jesus? Follow him. What is that to you? How we hang on to that past? How we hang on, or we look at the person next to me? Well, it's not fair. Why do I have cancer and this person doesn't? I've been doing all this. I think it's about the prodigal's brother. How he was sitting there looking like, whoa, he's in the mud. What is it? What's that to you? Follow me. Follow Jesus. Make your soul the first priority. Make your soul the first priority. Following Jesus. After salvation, your first priority. Second priority is honoring God. Glorifying Jesus in Christ. Keeping Jesus first means you have to let go of many things. Peter wanted to know about John. And Jesus said, what is that to you? You might wonder about rich people. You might wonder about your boss. You might wonder about And it's not wondering about their salvation, but maybe their path in life. Okay? Why is this person going through this, or why is that person going there? And we do pray for them, and it's not like it's that discerning of like, what is that to you to keep in mind? God has that ordained. We can encourage them. And Peter and John, look through Acts, they were together. They were doing many things together, preaching the gospel together. It wasn't like they took their own separate ways. There. Follow Jesus. May we be more concerned about being born again, faith in Jesus, and preaching His gospel, and following Him the rest of our days. We get bogged down in so many things this world has to offer. We get bogged down by political issues, troubles, car breaking down. There, let our first concern be Jesus. And we all live to the glory of God. Are we going all, or are we doing all for our neighbors? I know our neighbors. I mean, try. We got to help our neighbor move a thing in her yard, and I was like, so happy. I'm like, it's cool. You know, not that was sharing the gospel or anything, but I was thankful that they even came to us to ask. Now, I'm not prescribing what you should all be doing. But as independent men and women obey the dictates of the Holy Spirit, and that you may fall into your proper place. And I'm going to leave you with a quote from Spurgeon. It says, quote, "Give up all speculation. I beseech you, give up reading books merely for the sake of curiosity, and, in God's name, get to work for Him. The graves are filling, our cemeteries are filling, and hell is filling too. Meanwhile, the myrmidons of Satan are compassing sea and land to do all the mischief that they can. If you are really what you say you are, the servant of Him who wept over Jerusalem, if you are bought with the blood by shed on Calvary's cross, I charge you to consecrate yourself this very hour, so that to that form of Christian work to which your Master calls you, and follow Him through evil report and good report. Follow Him in the path of duty, and let nothing turn you aside from your life work of glorifying God. And may God bless you all, for Jesus' sake. Amen.